Should you be able to build or improve a house on land that floods? That's a question facing many Vermont towns, especially as human-caused climate change brings more frequent and extreme flooding. But imposing those restrictions can be tricky, as the town of Royalton learned on town meeting day. Vermont Public's climate and environment reporter Abigail Giles is here to walk us through what happened. Hi, Abigail.
Hey, Mary.
Abigail, you were in Royalton on town meeting day covering a new flood hazard bylaw that was on their ballot. Tell us more about what was in that proposal and what you saw.
For those who aren't familiar with Royalton, much of the development, including the village centers, sits along the White River or its tributaries. It's really beautiful. Royalton saw catastrophic flooding, though, during Tropical Storm Irene, and now sees impacts most years. And yet, new houses are still being built in areas that are known to flood. The town does already have some regulations on the books to restrict development and home improvement projects in some of the places that are most prone to flooding. These baseline regulations are important because they keep Royalton eligible for the National Flood Insurance Program. But members of the Planning Commission and Select Board say floodwaters often rise above the level where those regulations apply. They say there are still areas in town that flood that are basically unregulated, not by the state, the federal government, or the town. So they asked voters to support a new bylaw that would have expanded regulations to those areas that often flood but aren't currently regulated. The proposal would have also restricted or even banned projects in river corridors and along high-elevation streams. These are places where a river moves over time and where some of the most destructive flooding occurs.
Okay, thanks so much for explaining that a bit further. The bylaw failed, though, on town meeting day by a landslide. Why did it fail?
It proved controversial. There were signs all over town urging people to vote no. From talking to voters, there were a few issues that rankled people. First, the expanded regulations wouldn't just apply to new buildings in the floodplain, but also to existing buildings. For example, if you wanted to do even a small home improvement project, you would have to go to the town for a permit. As Planning Commission Chair Gio Honigford put it,
The issue was, don't tell us what to do with our property.
Gio worked for 2 years on the ordinance and supported it for public safety reasons, though he found the provision about home improvement troubling and wanted to change it. Other people I talked to worried the regulations would exacerbate Royalton's housing shortage. Here's newly elected selectman Bob Gray at town meeting day.
Today, it's pretty much unaffordable for people that have grown up and lived here. And one of the things that I want to do is try to work on affordability.
I did ask the Regional Planning Commission about this. They say there is still developable land in Royalton that isn't prone to flooding.
Abigail, where does this leave homeowners in Royalton now?
Yeah, so Royalton may have voted no on more flood regulation on town meeting day, but it's coming for the town in 2028, at least for river corridors. That's because Vermont is adopting its first ever statewide regulations on development in river corridors and beefing up its protections for floodplains, thanks to a law passed last year. These regulations will effectively ban new construction in river corridors and create stricter minimum standards towns have to adhere to for properties in floodplains if they want their residents to qualify for national flood insurance. Now, towns have the opportunity to adopt their own rules before that happens. If the state approves them, they can get extra disaster relief after floods and keep some local control when the state regs go into effect. Essentially, towns would get to issue and decide on permits for projects in river corridors instead of state regulators in Montpelier. So, in a sense, Royalton forfeited the ability to do this.
How much flexibility do towns actually have, and how much can the state take their feedback and then incorporate it into any new regulations?
When it comes to regulating river corridors, Vermont's regulations are stricter than the federal government's, so there is more flexibility. But when it comes to what people can do with their properties in the floodplain, the area that the federal government regulates, towns and the state have to adhere to strict federal rules. If they don't, they jeopardize people's ability to get flood insurance. That's where the requirement that people get a permit for home improvement comes from. What FEMA wants to see instead is people saving that home renovation money to elevate their houses and make them more resilient to flooding. But home elevation can cost up to $100,000. And doing that can make flooding worse downstream. Here's Kevin Geiger from Two Rivers Ottauquechee Regional Planning Commission.
What we call the brick in the bathtub problem is if the bathtub is full and you put a brick in, well, there's not enough room for all the water.
He says we simply need to get people out of floodplains and stop building there. But things like buyouts present challenges as well. And a lot of people are living in these soon-to-be regulated areas that flood. Vermont only passed a law requiring realtors disclose flood hazard to prospective homebuyers last year. Communities and the state face big decisions about what to do with these historic settlement patterns. And if Royalton's experience is any indication, coming to consensus can be challenging.
Wow, there is a lot there. Thanks so much for your reporting on this, Abigail.
Thanks for having me, Mary.
That's Vermont Public's Abigail Giles.